It's good to have you with us this morning, doing a series on called The Way of Peace, Finding the Path to Relational Harmony, and I want to share the third message this morning. So just to kick off, I want to sort of sketch a picture for you. A young man from Mdansane, he grew up and found out that he's got real skill, he's got real pace. And so he started to train 6 days a week, running, but 100 meters. So he's been running training for 20 years. 20 years of training. It's like 6 days a week. Sundays he went to church, and which is good. And so he's been training like crazy for 20 years. And the big day comes up. He's in best shape ever. He's pumped. He's going to do this. This is the moment of his life. He's been waiting his whole life for this moment. So he takes his position. The gun goes off and he goes for it. I mean, he like explodes off the starting blocks. He goes like he runs like he has never run before. And he breaks the world record, 9.2 seconds. He goes wild. He falls on the floor, ground, he rolls, he goes wild. He grabs his South African flag and he's running around and he's stoked. And then he realized there's no one there. He ran the best time ever, but there was no one there. So what's the point? What's the point of achieving this incredible moment, the 9.2 seconds, but there was no one to share it with. There was no friend to go to high five and say, did you see that? Or no mom to say, oh, my little boy, that was beautiful. Or a wife to go to that says, honey, I'm so proud of you. Or a little guy, 3-4 year old, saying, Dada, you're the best. Point being, what's the point of achieving anything in this life if you don't have someone to share it with? What's the point of achieving something but you can't actually go and celebrate it with someone else? Relationships. It's not just about achieving something. It's actually about sharing the journey with someone. The best things for me, even of what God has done in this church, is to share it with my wife or to share it with someone. You won't believe God changed someone's life. This happened. I think that's the best bit. Sharing it with someone. And so relationships. That's what we're speaking about. Relationships. And specifically, foolishness versus wisdom. So often we're not equipped. We don't actually know how to do it right. And so today I want to speak about friendship. Friendship is a gift. Friendship is a gift from God. It's a blessing from God. Doing life together, sharing the adventure. And so I want to hold another picture before you. Sort of a parable. There's a mountain, it's called the mountain of God. And then you have the flatlands, the desert lands below and beyond. That's where most of humanity lives, the flatlands. And then you have the mountain of God that represents destiny. And our mission is to go to the pinnacle of that mountain. We want to go all the way to the top because that's fulfillment. That's where you can say, I've done it. I've fulfilled my cause, my reason for being. I've gone all the way to the top. I've made it. So each one of us are called to that pinnacle, to achieve something in life, to fulfill our reason for being. There's only one snag. You cannot achieve it alone. There is just no way for any human being to achieve his destiny or his call alone. It's been designed like that. You can't do it alone. And so I want to hold this before you. It's sort of so there's destiny and there's a specific type of friend that you need to achieve destiny. I call it DMF, a destiny-minded friendship. I made that up. A destiny-minded friendship. So it's not just any type of friendship. It's we know that we want to achieve something together. We want to do something together. We have a goal that we're working for or working to. You see, when I was younger, before I came to the Lord as a, before I came became a Christian, I think I had three desires. I wanted to be happy in a sense, but I wanted a good wife. One day, that was my mission. I wanted a good job so I can have a good income, and then much beyond that, I just wanted to be happy. And so now, looking back, God has been good to me. I have destiny, praise God. I have an amazing wife. Would never have imagined God giving me such a beautiful, wonderful woman. So that's beyond my dreams. I have the best job ever, 2 hours a week. Come on, that's... this is amazing. And the pay is heavenly. So it's tick boxes. It's good. But my looking back, you know, I wasn't destiny minded. I didn't want to achieve. I wasn't going for a pinnacle. I didn't want to do or achieve anything. I just wanted to be happy. But now looking back, I cannot settle anymore for just being. It's like the mountain is calling me. It's saying, Andre, come, come. And the mountain is calling each of us. God is calling each of us to move beyond the normal, to go beyond the average, to pursue that destiny that God has set before us. So you have a table there on the screen. The one is sort of the norm, how we normally do relationships and its foolishness. And then we have the beyond the norm, the not the average, the those who go beyond, those who are wise. The normal is selfish in our relationship, self-focused. Well, what can I get? The beyond the norm is the wise say, well, what can I give? What can I invest in my friends? How can I help them to achieve their destiny? The normal is, you know, friends is for fun. There is no purpose. Beyond the norm is destiny-focused, while having lots of fun. And so the result of that is you have wasted opportunity. If you're in the normal, you have wasted opportunities. But if you're beyond the norm, then you take hold of every opportunity. A good example would be a bachelor's. The normal would be bachelor's. We get as drunk as a skunk, and we hope no one finds out what we did. And it's such a waste. And that's so how the world does it. It's such a waste. It's like I have a family member who got married, and at this, the bachelor's, they got a girl to come and strip, and everybody got drunk. So now I'm thinking, like, how on earth is that investing in a good marriage? That's investing in adultery. Okay, let's help you to commit adultery one day. Let's kill the marriage. No, there's a better way. A real bachelor's, I believe a godly bachelor's, is where friends actually invest in one another. I remember with Quibus van Dijk's bachelor's, all the men were around the fire. You know, we need a fire. We need something to keep us. We poke in the fire. You know, men do shoulder to shoulder, face to face, like, oh, this is awkward. So, yes, yes. That's sort of how we are wired. And so I remember at Corvus's bachelor's, you know, the dads shared their wisdom on how to do marriage. And I remember all the guys were pitching in. I remember some of the guys, even they've never had a date in their life. But they were telling them how to do marriage. Yo, Corvus, you know, you need to do it like this, eh? And, but it was such a beautiful time. It was such an investment in someone's future marriage and in a person. It just felt great. So that for me is beyond the norm. That's not average. That's beyond the norm. So I want to encourage you, take hold of those type of moments. Really make it special. the kitchen teas and the stork parties and the pray for, you know, if they're going to have a baby soon, you really need to pray for them. It's a challenge, but good. Okay, so I want to share with you a few challenges you're going to find on this mountain, the mountain of destiny. A few challenges you're going to find. But first, I'm going to read Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9. It's out of the wisdom books. It's connected with Proverbs written by Solomon. It says, two people are better off than one. That's deeper. The obvious, for they can help each other succeed. Wisdom. Okay, so first challenge you might find is as you know, mountain climbing is a dangerous hobby. It's and so is living life. It can be dangerous, so you can have significant challenges. So I remember in my life before we came to East London, I remember I felt like Superman. I didn't wear it, but I was thinking you're Superman. You know, I had my cape, I had my everything. I'm thinking, man, this mountain, just one jump, I'm to the top, test the knee, come on. So anyways, I was going around thinking, yes, tra-la-la, you know, going for the super moment. And then I didn't see the root of the tree sticking out there, and I tripped over it, and I fell to my tana eight. I fell my tooth out. Can you say that? Probably not. But in Afrikaans, it works wonderfully. My tanne uitgeval. And that sometimes happened to us in life. But what I was experiencing about, say, 7, 8 years ago, you know, even before, there were a few times in my life, I experienced that. It's like, I doubt everything. I don't know, am I really called? You know, I've something happened. I really hit the wall. I'm unsure about the future. I just don't feel so super anymore. Have you ever felt like that? Not so super? Yep. And then how do you get up from that moment? How do you make it through those difficult times? Well, you need an encouraging friend. I have a friend, his name is Heinrich, and he was the pastor at Shofar Johannesburg. They've moved to Cape Town. The two of us, we work together, find ourselves together in the office after I've metana uitgevallet. We found ourselves together in the office in Cape Town. And it was amazing because I realized here's a Superman who also fell his teeth out. Sy vlerkies het ook seer gekry. Two of us, both of us were like lippe teen die klippe, not sure about the future. Afrikaans sê so lekker. I was unsure about, you know, the future. And yeah, with the two of us together, and he was going through the same challenges, and yeah, we found one another, and we just started to encourage one another. We started to speak life over one another. We started to encourage. And it sort of helped us in that difficult time. It helped us to get up, to move forward. You know, when he stumbled, I was there, and I would encourage him. When I stumbled, he would encourage me. Or when, you know, we'd phone one another and chat, say, oh, going through this, or financial issue, or this issue. And we sort of pulled one another through. Do you have someone like that in your life? Do you have someone like that? Are you that for someone? Are you a person that invests in your friends and encourages them? So Ecclesiastes 4 verse 9, there's two verses. The first verse says, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, verse 10, if one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Someone who falls alone is in real trouble. If you fall now, if your wheels come off, do you have someone that will help you up? Do you have someone that will help you up? If you don't, it says you are in real trouble. And so one finds out as well, there are no supermen or superwomen. We need one another. So you need an encouraging friend. Friendship is a gift from God that enables us to go beyond the norm. Friendship is a gift that enables us to go beyond the norm. And I often see this, the foolishness of people who try to do it alone. Try to do it alone. Try to do it alone. Your wheels are going to come off somewhere. Do you have your things in place? People to help you. Okay, so that's the one challenge. Supermen stumble. Secondly, icy storms. It gets windy and cold on a mountain. The higher we go, the greater the storms can be. It can get extremely cold. I read a story of a guy who's trying to climb Mount Everest. They say over 120 plus people have died on Mount Everest trying to make it. And there was a guy called Maurice Wilson. And he had three half-hearted porters. The four of them tried to do it. And they didn't make it. They froze to death. They tried. But they tried it alone. They didn't have everyone there they should have. So friendship is a gift to help us go higher. But you see, the icy storm is something happens in your life. Someone disappoints you. A boss, a spouse, a friend. Something happens and something happens to your heart. Something happens to your heart. Your heart becomes cold. Your heart becomes bitter. So this happened to me as well. Some years ago, I became really bitter, really angry. And then you need a fire-making friend to make some heat, to bring some fire into the coldness, into the cold environment of the mountain. So I was in a coffee shop with a friend of mine. He's a pastor of Shofar Cape Town. Tiens is a very direct guy. And so I remember sitting there and I'm, pak ek af, ek is negatief. I'm like negative. I'm bitter. I'm really, really bitter. I've probably been depressed for a few months. I'm not in good space. I'm considering leaving the ministry. I'm considering walking away. And so I'm sitting there and I'm thinking this guy is gonna tell me, yeah, they're wrong. They're wrong. They're bad. They're bad people. Oh. And he rebukes me. Your heart is frot. Your heart stinks. You have a bad attitude. So I remember sitting there. No, it hits me like I started to cry. And I'm like, you're right. You're right. My heart stinks. And it was true. I was bitter. And so I repented. I apologized to him. I apologized to God. And I said, God, yes. You see, it's not about what other people's do. Other people's do. It's about what you do with what they do. It's how you respond to what they do. And so I needed a friend to bring some fire to the situation, to give me some perspective, to give me some godly perspective to help me. Ecclesiastes 4 verse 11 says, likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. There's a bit of heat there. But how can one be warm alone? Now, if you're married, you allowed that privilege. Just doing my bit. For the cause. Okay. Proverbs 27 verse 6. And this is about this friend. A true friend is willing to tell you as it is when he needs to. Wounds from a sincere friend are better than many kisses from an enemy. You know, if I'm standing on the edge of a cliff and I'm about to jump, I'm about to commit suicide, a friend won't tell me, yep, they're wrong. They evil. Jump. That's what you're saying. Walk away. A friend will say, no, you bitter. You are offended. Repent. Sort out your heart. A wound. And it wounds at first. Wounds from a sincere friend. So I have some really good friends, especially some of my pastor friends, and we have a deal. So we sometimes speak about members. If I ever do what this member has done, please come and clap me. So we have a deal. If I ever lose the plot as this one has, or as that one has, or if I'm ever as foolish to sacrifice my marriage as that person has done, come, you are my friend. Phone me, fly to me, and clap me. Because sometimes you actually need it. That relationship must be established, that you know that He loves me. He's going to speak into my life because He cares for me. Do you have such people? You see, friendship is a gift that enables us, empowers us to go beyond what is average. And so even in my student days, I realized I could see who are the guys who are destiny-minded. Who are the guys that we're going to walk this journey together? Do you have such? And do you listen? Do you listen? So thirdly, third challenge. So the one is that can get cold on the mountain. Thirdly, the seduction of success. It can be alone at the top. We can lose our way. It's easy to be so mission-focused that we storm ahead of the rest. We go for the summit, but in the process, we leave our relationships behind. I spoke about this 2 weeks ago. You know, no success outside of the home can make up for failure in the home. No success outside of the home can make up for failure in the home. Never sacrifice your relationships for trying to achieve a goal. It's called foolishness. You're going to find yourself maybe at the pinnacle, but you're going to be alone. And I'm thinking about guys like Barack Obama. You know, when you're the president of a nation like that, it's not now the time to make a friend. You should have made your friend 30 years ago and have walked a journey. The president cannot go cry on anyone's shoulder. And so can't CEOs and guys who've moved to a certain level of responsibility. So are you positioning yourself with friends that even when you achieve some form of success, that they can still say, "Jou geld sê vir my niks nie, jy is af." Do you have someone that's going to rebuke you and say, "I don't care how much power you have. I don't care how much money you have. Repent. Change. Turn. You're wrong. You're treating your wife badly. Come on. Sort it out." Do you have someone like that in your life? You need to start early. And so what one needs is, especially I think for this, you need a covering friend. Someone that covers you. Now, Sonica, my wife, she's my covering friend. This is what it's Jeremiah 31, verse 22. The Lord will create a new thing on earth. A woman will surround a man. A woman will surround a man. There are no self-made men. I think most men that achieve anything is because there's some solid woman behind him. There's an amazing woman behind him. And that is so true. So I have an amazing friend in Sonica. She's my cheerleader. And she covers my weaknesses. She encourages me when nobody else, when even starting off with the church, you know, then she would tell me, "You're the best pastor. You're the best pastor." Even when nobody else is thinking it or saying it. But I cannot fulfill what God, we cannot fulfill what God has called us to do alone. I cannot fulfill what God has called me to do without her. And so there's this place where we cover one another, where we surround one another, where we believe in one another despite our weaknesses, despite our faults. Married people, we must cover one another. I think one of the saddest things in the world is when a couple who are in covenant, I mean, till death do us part, when it's those people, those two, who wound one another more than anything else. They were destined to encourage and cover, protect, and heal. It's so sad to me when I find there's that couple who wounds one another the most. A woman will surround a man, and obviously a man will protect his wife. A covering friend. Friendship is a gift that enables us to go beyond the norm. I'm trusting you're going to see the importance of friendship and to make a few changes. Even marriage. Marriage is about friendship. Sonica is my best friend, Mikey. She is my best friend. We have a deal. Tot die dood ons skei. And then we're going to get a mansion in heaven next to one another. And then she's going to move in. That's our deal. Okay, so you see, friendship, relationship is the one thing you can take to heaven. Do you realize that? That is the one thing you can take, your house, your money, your position, your influence. You can't take that with you to heaven, but a relationship you can take with you. So why not invest in that which is of eternal value? We need to fight for a relationship. We need to fight for our friends and for our friendships. We need to determine who has God put us together with as friends and then fight for them. Fight for the covering friend. And then on this mountain, you're going to get some wild animals, which can also be dangerous. So it's like the lion, Mr. Lion, phoning little springbok. Hey, little springbok, how's it going? Yes, yes, yes. Who's that? Who's that? No, it's your uncle lion. Hello, uncle Mr. Lion. Oh, little springbok, let's have a party. A party, you, me, we have party. We have a braai, you say? We have a braai, come on. We have a braai. Now the little springbok say, hey, no, Mr. Lion, no, I don't think so. Are you a vegetarian lion? No, little springbok, you know, you can't have a party without some meat, eh? So why don't you come over and we have a braai? And springbok says, no. maybe some other time. Thank you. Cheers. Bye. What's the point? It can get dangerous on a mountain with wild animals. And now I'm speaking about dangerous friends. You see, there's something that we don't always understand. The moment you come to Jesus, something supernatural happens on the inside of you. You receive a new nature. So previously, you were a flatlands little bookie. You know, you're just going flatlands, you're doing your own thing, you're going west. The moment you meet Jesus, you receive a new nature, and suddenly everything in you says, mountain of God. I want to be with God. I want to be with God. I want to climb this mountain. I want to be with my God. So there's a change in nature. There's a change in direction. Some friends are dangerous. Why? Because they want to go that way. They're still going that way. So if you walk with them, they're going to pull you away from God. You're going to walk in a different direction. So some friends is like a lion to a little springbok. Hy gaan vir jou eet. How many Christians I've seen have lost the plot due to wrong relationships, wrong dating, wrong marriage, wrong friends. I remember some years ago we had a friend in Cape Town. She always had a soft spot for guys with broken wings. More like a lion with a paw that's injured. And she's a springbok. And so she would continuously date these guys to try and help them out. And then every time it'd be a mess, these guys would get abusive, even physical. It would really get ugly and physically abusive. And so one time we were praying for this friend of ours, and Sonica, I remember, saw a picture. As we were praying, she saw this friend of hers walking on the curb, and then there was a manhole in a vision or in a dream. Saw a manhole. Open manhole right in front of her, and she's just walking, and she's not seeing this manhole. And then she walked into this manhole, and we saw like there was like snakes and scorpions and things in there, and the manhole closed as she fell in. And that's what happened. She lost the plot because she chose to have dangerous friends. So you need to determine, where are you going? Where are you walking? And who are you walking with? Am I saying avoid anyone that's not a Christian? No. I'm just saying don't date them. Don't marry them. Don't allow them to cause you to draw away from God. Okay, don't fall for the trap of the enemy. So ask this question. This relationship, is this bringing me closer to Jesus, or is this pulling me further away from Jesus? If you are a believer, you want to ask that question. If you're not a believer this morning, obviously it's not important for you. But if you are a Christian and you want to climb this mountain, you want to be with God, then you need to ask this question: is this relationship pulling me away from Jesus or bringing me closer to Jesus? And if you are married to that person, then you have no choice. You must trust God for a miracle in that marriage. Because marriage is until death do us part. Amen. Amen. Okay, fifth one, almost finished. Betrayal. Another challenge, another dangerous friend or situation. A Judas. That's a big challenge. Some of us maybe have had relationships where someone have betrayed us, someone have wounded us, someone have hurt us. And that can affect us. It's so amazing how Jesus responded to Judas. This is what John Bevere says. Jesus kissed Judas and called him friend after he betrayed him. Great leaders know how to forgive. Jesus kissed Judas, or allowed him to kiss him, and called him friend. Great leaders know how to forgive. So maybe you have had disappointments in your past, in your history, friends that have left you, dropped you, turned away from you. Maybe you have experienced a Judas situation. How are you dealing with it? How are you addressing it? Jesus loved. I think that's so beautiful. Jesus loved. That's why he could die on the cross. So how did you respond when somebody wounded you? I really feel this is for some of us here this morning. How have you responded when someone failed you or dropped you? How did you respond? Have you forgiven from the heart? Or maybe you were the one that you were the Judas. You were the one that gossiped. You were the one that did something that hurt or offended someone. How have you responded? How have you responded? Do you know how Judas responded? He couldn't forgive himself for what he did to Jesus. So he walked away and he committed suicide. Jesus loved him and would have welcomed him back. So I also felt this, maybe this is for someone here. So sometimes relationships self-destruct, or maybe we caused it. How do you respond? Do you commit suicide, spiritual or emotional or relational? Do you commit suicide and walk away? Or do you say, no, I'm trusting God for a turnaround in this relationship? How do you respond? Don't be a Judas. Jesus loved him. Jesus would have received him back and said, I forgive you. He forgave Peter. If you need to forgive yourself, do so. Forgive yourself. If you have failed in any relationship, don't do as Jesus did, as Judas did. Okay, so friends forever. Friends forever. Friendship and relationships can be forever. Just four practical things. As I said, friendship is a gift that enables us to go beyond the norm. First thing, pray. Pray for right relationships. Pray, say, God, give me that type of friends that I can really walk, destiny-minded friends that I can walk this journey together with. Secondly, get a common cause. Get a common cause. And that's what's so great about church and church community. We have a common cause. We want the kingdom to come. So as we do kingdom living together, we have that common cause. So you will see there on your chairs, there's a ministry involvement card. If you want to get involved with us in any way, get involved in the ministry, at the back you'll see options of where you can get involved. You can get to know people, get connected with friends in church. This is the place. In church is the place to find destiny-minded relationships. Okay, so feel free to fill that in and just drop it there at the new life table there at the back. But get a common cause. Get a common cause. This is where you'll find the right friends. And it's like someone has said before, if you're looking for a wife, where should you go and find her? Guys, in the bar? Well, the type of woman you're going to find in the bar is probably not the type of woman you want to marry. You probably want to find a good woman in church. Huh? Quality ladies in church. Can I have an amen? Amen. Kom nou, prys die Here. Because it's not just about finding a partner, it's about finding the right one with the same destiny in mind. So you need to invest time and effort. It will cost you. Are you investing in your friendships? And then lastly, be a friend. You know, if someone that doesn't have friends, I would say, well, maybe you're not being a friend. If you are a friend, you're going to have friends. Instead of pointing the finger at others and say, they don't like me. Well, maybe be likable. Reach out. Love someone. Invest in someone. Bless someone. But reach out and make friends. Because we are not called to walk alone. And then the closest friend of all. Verse Proverbs 18:24. There is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. His name is Jesus. He's the expert mountain climber and guide. He knows every nook and cranny of this mountain of destiny because he made it. He designed it. He knows the mountain intimately. And he is our closest friend. So if you are in the middle of a storm, you can just close your eyes and say, Jesus, help me. And he's going to be there. When you storm on that mountain, it's getting crazy. You can just ask Jesus to come and help you. He will give you the strength for your challenge. He is our closest friend. So I want to encourage you this morning. If you have no friends, Jesus will be your friend. But he wants you to have more friends than just him. Amen. Relationship is the mission. That is God's heart. That is God's passion for us. He wants us to do destiny together. Jesus is the one that helps us to forgive those who hurt us. And he forgives us if we have turned against him. Do you know that every one of us have been a Judas at some stage to Jesus? Every one of us have been a Judas at some stage. Every one of us have sinned at some stage. Every one of us have turned our backs on God at some stage. He'll forgive you. He'll forgive you. He'll cleanse you. He'll restore you. So I just want us to, this morning, just to pray. I've just really felt forgiveness. If you have been a Judas to someone, to receive forgiveness from God, to allow him to forgive yourself. That's actually just to forgive yourself. And if you have had a Judas in your life, or you've had people that acted like that, or betrayed you, or hurt you, or wounded you, I want to encourage you to forgive them from the heart. From the heart. To forgive them. As someone said, forgive and set someone free from prison. Yourself. Forgive and set someone free from prison. Yourself. Amen.